How's everybody doing? It's good to be back with our family. It was a wild ride. And I thank everyone who has been praying for our family and with certain situations. And right now, I just want to lift up my family and just pray that the Lord just keeps speaking to you guys. Know who I'm talking about. Father, right now, Lord God, I just want to pray for my sister. I just pray that you, Lord God, just keep speaking to her. Don't give up on her, Lord God. And I lift up all of our family members right now, Lord God, that we might have, that are coming so close, Lord God, that the world just keeps snatching them away, Father. I pray, Father, protection over them, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that you can speak to them your wisdom and your love and your understanding, Father. And they get a taste of that sweetness, Lord, so that they'll want more of it, Father. Help us not to get discouraged, Lord. I find myself getting so overwhelmed and even angry and discouraged, Lord. Help us as the family members, Lord God, that follow you and love you, Lord God. Help us not to be fleshly. Help us to be understanding and patient, Father. And give us strength, Lord God, because we are just pretty much all flesh a lot of the time, Father. But, Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's been gone. I thank you, Lord, that we're all back safely and we get to be here and we get to fellowship and be together, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you lead today and you lead this worship, Lord God. Amen. Feel free to stand up if you like.
Many men will drink the way.
no matter what we're going through, Lord, that we are able to praise you, Lord. And we're able to trust you, Father. I pray right now, Lord God, for a family that lives in this area, Lord God, that lost their son, Lord. I lift them up to you, Father. I can't even imagine everything they're going through right now, Lord. But Father, I pray as a brother and a sister and as a family in Christ, just to lift up that family to you, Lord God. Give them your comfort, Lord. Speak to them, Father. Heal them as a family together, Lord God, in your name. your Holy Spirit, Father. That's why we're here, Lord God. We're asking you to speak to us, Lord, to correct us, to rebuke us, to love us, to heal us, Father. Sometimes it feels like we need you now more than ever, God. I pray, Father, that if anyone's here today that has this lingering sin, Lord God, Father, I pray for freedom, Lord God. Help them not to carry those chains anymore, Lord. I pray for pride, Lord God. Help us to all lay it down, Father. Help us to be humble so we can learn, Lord God. I speak for myself, too, Lord God. I have pride in so many different little areas, even not knowing it, Lord God. When I get embarrassed or I feel strange, Lord God, that's pride creeping in. Help me to be humble, Lord God. Help me to say, I don't know, I just want to learn. Help us with anger, Lord God. Anger produces hate. Hate produces murder, Father. Help us with lust, Lord God. Help us not to lust. Not just after people, Lord God, but after things, Lord God. Help us not to covet, Father. Help us to put you first, Lord. Basically, Lord God, help us not to be us, Father. Help us to be more like you. right now, as we're singing about how much He loves us, I want you to think about how we look at children, how our Father looks at us. When our kids do something wrong, when they have that look in their eye like, oh no, I did it, I'm guilty. And you look at them and you say, sweetie, don't do that again, I forgive you, it's okay. Just that rush of relief that they feel. That's how He loves us. He says, you know what? You messed up. You did it. You're wrong. But I forgive you. And I give you grace. And when you come up to me and you say, Father, I'm sorry. I know I stumbled again. Lord God, please heal me. Cleanse me. That's that overwhelming love that we're singing about here. When we realize, because some of us might have a little stack of issues that we have, a little problems. Some of us have this enormous stack of things that we've done in our past, and a lot of problems that we have. They're all forgiven. They're all wiped clean. And that's why we're singing how He loves us. It's amazing, that feeling. We don't have time to maintain these regrets when we think about how much God loves us. And how beautiful is that? I know that I stuck to my regrets for a long time, but when I realized God's true love, I couldn't think about them anymore. In fact, I chose not to think about them. So I want to sing that one more time, that He loves us. We're going to start with verse 2.
So we are His portion, and He is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking hands. So heaven meets earth like an unclean kiss, and my heart
focused on You, Lord. Help me not to worry about tomorrow, Father, and not worry about all these things that are falling apart in my life, Lord God. Help me be thankful for all the things that You've set right in my life, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that as we walk through our days, Lord, that we are a light shining for You, Father, that we're not hypocrites. You know, when I'm up here, sometimes as I'm singing, I'm praying, I'm like, Lord, I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better daughter for You. Help my kids sitting here, help them not think, shh, look at mom singing up there, she's a hypocrite. I don't want to be that way. I want to be the same at home as I am here at church. And that's what I always pray, Lord God, help me not to have two faces, not have two lives. That's why I like to be as transparent as I can be. You guys know I have issues. pretty obvious. But I also have the grace of the Lord. And I am so thankful for that. I pray, Father, that all of us, Lord, that we want to be true to you, Father, Lord God, that we don't have to put on any appearance for anyone else, Lord God, that we can be weak, and we're okay with that. I don't have to walk around acting like I'm a strong person all the time, Lord. Help me to be okay with my weakness, Father, so that when my kids look at me, they don't get turned off to you, Father. I pray that for everyone here, Father, as parents, Lord. I take that duty so seriously, Father. Help us to walk rightly in you, no matter who we're in front of, Lord God, even if we're by ourselves, Father, because you're always seeing us, Lord God. Every step we make, every decision we make, what we listen to, what we watch, Lord God, what we buy, Father, help us to do everything unto you, Father. And speaking for myself as well.
Devoted, like a solid piece of gold, like a be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Help us to praise you. Father, when the heat's turned up, Lord God, help us to praise you. When we feel like we want to run to despair, Lord God, help us to run to you, Father. When we feel like we want to run to anger and vengeance, Lord God, help us run to peace, Father. Just help us to have that peace in our heart, even though we don't understand. Help us to realize that we have problems and we can't control things, Lord. So we need to stop trying to take things in our own hands and just surrender everything to you, Lord. I do pray for peace right now in this nation, Lord God. You know, Josh and I were driving. We were going back and forth, and we like to have these little spats. Not arguments, we're, you know, spiritual things. And in a way, you know, he's saying there's always hope. And I'm like, come on, seriously, look around you, Josh. For this nation to turn around and just fall in love with the Lord, come on. I don't see it. He's like, but there's always hope. And in the end, I said, yeah, there is always hope. Lord God, help us not to look at circumstances, Father. You know, we can look at issues of today, and we can look about how we are going down this horrible and this wrong path. And it's easy to say there isn't any hope, you know. But, Father, there's always hope. Help us not to grow cold, Lord God. Even in the end times, Lord God, it talks about how hearts grow cold and people turn away. Lord God, I don't want that to be me, Father. Help me to always have a soft heart and help me to always have hope, Father. And forgive me, Lord God, to think anything could be past you, Father. So, Father, I pray this morning, if anything, Lord, just fill our hearts with hope. And Lord God, help us to have soft hearts.
Going on vacation, coming back from vacation, leaving for vacation. So if you're new here, I'm Darren. I'm the pastor of the church. This is my wonderful wife, Lisa.
Yay.
Yay. We have three wonderful children and another one. That's a joke. Okay.
Speaking for yourself.
We have wonderful kids. Very grateful for them. Everyone, thank you, brother. And son. Okay, so if you're new here, we love the Word. And so we're going to be teaching through the Word, verse by verse, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Hopefully, coming up here in the next month, as you notice, you can praise the Lord for that the playground area for the kids. Isn't that amazing? Yes, amazing. And also the petting mirror almost done. And I actually even think there's going to be some tables being delivered, Lord willing, this week, maybe even today. And so a lot of amazing things that God is just doing, and I'm just so grateful. It's just all in His timing. Because I would have forced it, you know, probably 2 years ago, and it wouldn't have worked. So I'm so glad God does it when He wants. And so if you missed any of the teachings in the past month, you can get them online at www.homefellowshipchurch.com, and you can hear the teaching through the Word. We also have a loaner library to help equip you. We're an equipping church. That's our goal here, is to encourage and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are one of the saints. And so back in the back on the left, we've got tons of stuff for the Loaner Library. We've got books, we've got audio CDs in the car, we've got family DVDs, all Christian, to help you grow, encourage your faith in you and your family. We ask that you would pray for a few of the ministries, from Bondage to Freedom Ministries. Kelly, as we're going to be ministering to the homeless, just continue even just to lift her up and lift that ministry up, that God will direct it in Jesus' name. Also, we have a few things we want to mention. Sunday mornings, if you'd like to come here and pray for this community and pray for our country and pray for our fellowship here, we'd love to have you join us at about 9:30 Sunday mornings. This Tuesday is the Women's Bible Study, and it's the Armor of God with Priscilla Shearer, and it's basically learn to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might, and I've heard from lots of the women who are doing the homework and stuff like that. It's been great. And it's been really amazing. And so don't let me forget, there's another person who wanted to join. So if you could find one of those books. If you're at all interested in coming, then we just want to welcome you to come out. Even if you can't do the homework, come on out, ladies, Tuesday. And what time is that, Lisa?
6:30 for fellowship, 7 o'clock for Bible study.
Okay, 6:30 for fellowship, 7 o'clock for the Bible study. Please come out to that. I've heard a lot of amazing things about it, and I want to continue that. So come on out to that. On Wednesday, we have the youth group at Manatee County Youth for Christ. We'd love to see you out there from 6:30 to 8:30. Thursday mornings here, work in the Word, 9:30 for devotional. Tom leads devotional. We've been in the Old Testament to one that we just work out here in the property and serve together. A lot of these things have been done because some of the people have been serving so faithfully, you know, Chris and Wendy Joe and Hezekiah and Elijah and some others. And so, man, we're so grateful for you guys coming and just doing so much work. It's amazing. Thank you for that, Lisa. Also, prayer, the prayer and praise, that's Friday at 6:30, 8 o'clock. If you want to come out to be prayed for or to pray. You guys know, if you don't know, if you weren't here last week, this church is supporting Paul and Marcia Crowley. And so we're sending out Bibles to their entire new class in Kenya, the poorest of the poor, the pastors, the ministry leaders. We're supplying Bibles for them all free in Jesus' name for the new semester. So praise the Lord for that. Also, please, if you don't know Peggy and Lester, you know Siler? They taught. These are an amazing, wonderful couple. They've taught in Zimbabwe as missionaries for 45 years. That's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, they bought a little place here in Bradenton. They can't wait to come back to the fellowship. They're trying to sell their property down there. But it's chaotic down there, and there's riots and upheaval, and the economy has totally collapsed. Please pray for them. They're wonderful, godly, amazing people. Just pray for their safety and that God would use them even in this situation and bring them back safely in His timing. Just to let you guys know, we're doing a child evangelism fellowship. Sherry Brower, who is in charge of this region, is going to be doing a 5-day club here at Home Fellowship Church. And so you can come out ages 5 to 12 from July 25th to the 29th here at Home Fellowship Church from 10 a.m. to noon. And that whole week there's going to be Bible lessons, games, fun activities, but it's all going to be free in Jesus' name. And we need help with folks distributing flyers to the neighborhood. It's just going to be an outreach. So if you'd like to volunteer or help give to the neighbors, Lisa, do you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say that it's just really cool because the other day, a couple months ago, I was thinking, wow, we really need to have something for our kids and community during the summer, but I know that our kids workers are kind of overworked at this point. Sometimes they're serving twice a month. Sometimes, you know, I know a couple of the ladies don't usually get to the kids' service that often. And so there's really no hope for us to do something over the summer. And then Sherry called me. She said, I want to come to a five-day club at your church. So, you know, that's an answer to prayer right there. And she's got an amazing missionary heart for kiddos. So I know Mike, every time I get a chance to sign my kids up for anything Sherry's doing, I'm right on it. You know, I've already got my kiddos signed up that are in the age group. And, you know, it can be for your kids. They can bring friends from school or cousins. Or, yeah, if you could come get some flyers for me and just knock on some doors in the neighborhood, just say hi where the, you know, that little church around the corner. Can you, you know, we have this coming up. Just anything like that. You know, if you want to go meet some of the neighbors, it'd be a great thing to hand them and invite them too. So I have the flyers for that. But and for our kids. So I'm hoping that a bunch of our kiddos from the church and their friends or cousins can come on out too. And I think it's going to be really cool. Sherry does a great job. And she's so amazingly fun with the kiddos. But she does have a great heart to really train them to what the scripture says about salvation and then train them in how to memorize scripture verses. So what a cool thing. And she always has great things. So I think kids will love it.
Agreed.
She's a friend, and I've known her and trust her completely. So anyway, if you guys are invited to that, also the neighbors, again, if you want to help to reach out to the community, we would love to just come see Lisa or I. We'd love to get a little pattern set up so we can hand those out to the neighbors. This is pretty amazing, but I'm going to save that till next week. Okay. I did promise you miracles. You have to wait one more week. One more week. I'm going to tell you some really incredible stuff. So, yeah, we'll do this slide, JoJo. Okay, we are in the book of Romans. We are in the book of Romans. So if you could open your Bible to Romans chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, Chris, could you grab some? Oh, did you? Would you hand them out? Oh, you did that already? Cool, you're good. Romans chapter 5. We've been going through the book of Romans together, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And in the early chapters, we saw that God was giving them information. The heavens declare the glory of God. He gave folks opportunity to come to Him. But finally, they chose their own way. He gave them up, and He gave them over through sinful ways. And then Paul, almost like he's in a courtroom, just pretty much starts saying, hey, telling us all, we're all guilty before God, that none of us are right, that we're all sinners, and we all need a Savior. Gentiles, quote-unquote, good, righteous people, and super religious people, all in the same, are all going to be judged by God. And so we got into chapter 3, which basically told how we're all depraved. Before the Lord, the depravity of man, because there's no fear of God before our eyes. And without the Lord working, man, there isn't. But then in Romans 3:21 to 31, there was a turning point. And it was almost like, okay, after all these chapters, I feel like somebody beat the snot out of me. You know, and now all of a sudden he was like, but now a Savior has come, the Messiah has come. And He wants to be that righteousness for you. He wants to cleanse you from your sins. And this was a turning point. And every one of you who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life has had that turning point in your life. It has changed your heart attitude. It has changed the direction that you are going. It's changed your thought process. It's changed your relationships. It's changed how you work. It changes how you treat people. It changes how you see things. He, Jesus Christ, is that turning point. And there is no other name given to men given under heaven by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. We talked about a lot of big words in Romans 4 as he's trying to talk to these religious people. He talks about grace, God's unmerited favor, about redemption. And in Jesus Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We talked about some big words, propitiation. And that's just the appeasement or the turning away of God's wrath against sinners by the means of atoning sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we all need the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We talked about the righteousness of God in chapter 4, 1 to 25. And if we ever played a game about how to get to heaven, it would be called Shoots and Shoots. Because there's no ladders. You can't work your way to heaven. There's nothing you can do. There's no good works. It's all of God.
Scroll through this.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast about it. We talked about being sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1:13-14. We also talked about how just like God raised up Sarah and gave life to her womb again, and just like God raised up Abraham and allowed him to have children again, thank you. God brings dead things to life. And if you don't know it, if you're not walking with Jesus Christ, if you don't know him, you're a dead man or dead woman walking. But he's come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, more than you can ask for or imagine. That's our God. He is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Then we talked about Abraham's faith, how, here, hit that light, Joe, just for a second. Lessons we can learn from Abraham. He didn't look at his limitations. He didn't lower his expectations in chapter 4. Abraham gave glory to God in his situation. Abraham chose to believe God's promises, and Abraham's result was faith and belief. It's always been by faith, even in the Old Testament. Before circumcision, before the law, before all these things, the righteous had lived by faith. And then, of course, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for him. That's amazing to me. And now we're going to talk about hope. You can hit those lights, Joe. In Romans chapter 5, you know, I first was going to do this. I thought, oh, Romans chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to do that Sunday. And then the more I read it, I said, Romans chapter 5. Maybe we'll get through about 75% of it Sunday. And the more I read it and prayed, I said, Romans chapter 5, maybe half, a third, a few verses. So, we're just going to see what God has for us today, okay? There is so much in his word, okay? It is, his precious promises give us, by faith, everything we need for life and godliness. And so, here we are. We have hope in a world, in a time, like Andy was saying, there just isn't any hope. Apart from Christ, I hate to like burst the bubble, you live in a hopeless world. You really have no hope. Anything you're putting your hope in, a relationship, a job, your finances, it's going to be like that little bubble that you blew as a kid. You know what I'm saying? It looks, oh, it's so big. Whoa, you're blowing that little bubble. And it goes, and it is no more. All right. Romans chapter 5. How about somebody read for me the first... Okay, let's read through... I need somebody to read for me Romans chapter 5. Let's just go 1 through 8. Can somebody read that for me who doesn't mind reading? Okay, Mike.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace, in which we stand and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For while we are still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
That is beautiful. You know, that first sentence, Michael, if you could just read just verse 1 again, and we'll just start with that one. Would you read it one more time?
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Just stop right there. And therefore, since we have been justified through faith. You know what? I if you've noticed that, but I like certain words like just get my attention. That word there, it says we have been justified. What does that say to you?
Past tense.
You've got it.
Exactly. That's past tense. Do you remember what justified means for you guys who were here when we explained that? What does being justified mean? Just as if I had never sinned. That's right. It's like you were brought before the judge, and it's not like he's let you go and there's still, like, you know, that case file, or you still have that juvie record, or you can't get whatever. It's gone completely. It is expunged. It never existed. The file is gone. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's so incredible. You have been justified. And that's important to me too, because, you know, sometimes folks are really trying to work after they get saved. And listen, don't get me wrong. We are saved unto good works, right? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole purpose we're here. But you know what I'm saying. Some of us are led more by guilt. You know what I mean? And we're trying to work our way into God's favor. I got to do enough stuff to be right with God. And God's like, I've already paid the price. It's a done deal. Just as if you've never sinned. I've covered you. I've taken your unrighteousness and I exchanged it with my righteousness. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Such a deal. You know, do it the lights for just a second. Listen to this. This is in John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus said, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Isn't that interesting? If you hear my word and believes on him who sent me, he has eternal life already. And you won't be judged, but you've already crossed over. And I just, when I picture that, I picture the cross bridging a gap, right? From man, sinful man, to God. And if you believe, you've already crossed over from death to life. You already have eternal life. It's a done deal. You are sealed, right? That's what he has done for you. That's amazing. You know what? The other thing it says in here is it says, therefore we have been justified through faith. And you guys know this. It's faith is important to us as believers. It's not by works, it's not by coming to church, it's not by Bible studies, it's not by talking Christian lingo. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Hebrews 11, 6 says this, without faith, it is possible to please God?
Impossible.
It is impossible to please him, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those that earnestly seek him. That's your God. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we live... thanks, Joe. We live in a sin-filled world, and what's amazing to me is here we have God who's taken, looks at us while we were yet sinners, died for us, so that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have eternal life. And he's signed the priest treaty. Do you know it says that before you were saved, you were an enemy of God? Did you know that? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it says that you're an enemy. You have set yourself up as an enemy of God. Ouch. Those are strong words, isn't it? But it's almost like he's given you a peace treaty. All you have to do is sign it. And in fact, he wrote it in his blood. Isn't that incredible? You are enemies with him. He created you. He made you. He breathed life into you. He gave you taste buds. He gave you eyes to see. And you reject him. You mock him. I mocked him. And yet he's given this peace treaty. Yet so many people don't want anything to do with it. or they haven't heard, they reject it. And what it says in the scripture, in that verse 1, it says we have peace with God. And there's two kinds of peace that God gives us. Okay? There's a peace from God. Okay? And then there's a peace with God. All right? The peace from God is a benefit of being saved, of walking closely with Him. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. This is not what the main thing we're going to talk about, but I at least want to mention it. It says, listen, in this crazy world, God is saying to you, if you're a child of mine, He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. If you do this, and there's the if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. His peace is like that bodyguard set up at the door. You know what I'm saying? The door to your heart. That 350-pound hulk of a man, like myself. Maybe a little bit bigger and stronger. But anyway, you get the idea. He will guard your heart in Christ Jesus. This is the peace from God. You know? He says in John 14:27, peace I leave you with you. My peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In other words, He's saying with you, I'm with you in the storm. I'm with you in the boat. You don't need to be afraid. Don't look at your circumstances, right? Don't look at your all this stuff. Look at me. I've given you peace in the midst of the storm. I'll take care of you. But there's a different kind of peace, too. A peace with God. And this is a true story. This is history and headlines. There were two Japanese soldiers found. One was in 1975. And also this man, the 1975, I think he was on the Philippines, in the Philippines. And this man, Shochi Yoki, however you say that, somebody can correct me later. But on January 24th, 1972, on the U.S. island of Guam, Japanese sergeant,
wow.
Yes, Shochi Yoki was found hiding, believing that World War II was still going on. Okay, these guys have been still fighting, building defenses. He was doing raids, starting fires. This one here in Guam, the other one in the Philippines, starting fires, doing all this stuff. He was still fighting 30 years after the peace treaty was signed. Right? And I look at this man and I say, oh my goodness, how sad that is. That he would be still fighting 30 years after the peace treaty is signed. He's missed out on the peace. He's missed out on the Japan's economic boom and the joy and the peace and the rest. He's missed out on all of it. And then I think to myself two things. How many people out there are fighting the war? And they don't need to be. Here our Savior has come with the peace treaty. And He says, I want to give you peace with me. My wrath is coming against your sin. I'm coming. I have to deal with it. I am loving, but I am also just and holy. And so I have to deal with that sin, and my wrath is coming. Yet I've given the peace treaty. Yet how many people just reject it? They don't want it. They haven't heard about it. They don't want to listen. In fact, I don't know if it was this guy or the one in the Philippines. I was reading about him. One of the two actually heard that the war was over. Right? But he thought it was propaganda. And so when they captured him, or the one in the Philippines, he still had 500 rounds of ammunition, the rifle, some grenades. I mean, and he was so sorry about all the damage he caused because he was still killing people. But you know what? Christians, sometimes some of us can be doing the same thing. We're working hard for His approval. And you have peace with God. It's already over. He says to you, peace, stop trying to work so hard. Rest in me. You're going to have trials, right? You're going to have tribulations, but you're going to find your peace in me. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I loved you with an everlasting love. And I wrote it in my blood. That's your Savior. Isn't that amazing? God's word says this. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from what?
Accusation.
You know what? Sometimes I'm my worst enemy. I'm just saying, maybe that's not you. I accuse myself more than anybody. It's like me or the enemy. It's like we're both together. Man, I gotta stop that. It's covered by the blood. It's the peace. I have peace with God. That's amazing, isn't it? And because I have peace with God, I have peace from God. That's amazing to me. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. How cool is that? In whom we have gained access through faith into his grace, which we now stand. There's a word in here. I'm trying to remember what it was in Greek. I think it starts with an H. But anyway, I can't think of what it is, right? Histamine? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Where it says in here, guys, that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, only through Jesus. How many ways are there to heaven?
One.
He is the way. It's only through Jesus Christ. John 14:6. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No church, no denomination, no people group, no whatever. It's through Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace. And I love that word, that when I was looking that up, that access. And it kind of did this. It was kind of like when I was looking it up, it meant it was precise. Anyway, but it basically meant like not only access, but that you're let in and announced. Almost like if there was a king, right, and you had access to the king. Someone would bring you in and introduce you. That's why, I don't know if it was, some of yours might say introduce. You have access. You were introduced to the king. Almost like, now back in those days, to go to a king was a really big deal. Do you remember the story of Esther? You guys remember that story? And I might even have a slide, I forget what I did. But in Esther chapter 4, verse 11 and 16, they basically, they were going to kill all the Jews. And so Esther went before the king, and she said in those verses in 4:11, and she said, if I go before the king, and I go without him requesting me, and I go into that courtroom, and he doesn't raise that golden scepter, I'm dead. That's death, to go before a king, right? But then finally she said, but because of my people, if I perish, I perish. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you access. I'm giving you free access. You're one of my kids. I want you to come in now. I'm adopting you in the family. You have access through Jesus Christ. You have access to the king. There was a story in England about this little boy. This was some years back. About this little boy who wanted to see the royalty at the time, wanted to see the queen. And he was crying, and one of those beefeaters, that's what they call those guards, right? I don't know why they call them beefeaters, but whatever. They call them beefeaters, and they got that, you know. And anyway, they were refused, and quite harshly. This little kid wanted to see the queen. Nobody gets to see the queen, right? And so he was rebuked harshly. You don't see it. Nobody sees the queen. The kid, this little kid doesn't know any better. He's a little kid. And he's just crying. He just wanted to see the queen and make his request to her. And anyway, And you know, they're kind of laughing at him, you know, whatever, the people. And anyway, a young man by the age of 20 notices, and he walks right up to the young man, and he asks, "Why are you crying?" He's like, I want to see the queen, the king, whatever. He said, "Take my hand." And that little boy went right past all those guards, right past, and was it Buckingham Palace, I think? All, past all the carpeted hallways, all the counselors, everybody walked right back and walked right into the throne room to meet the queen. And you know why that was able to happen? Because he was the prince. That was the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, when he was a young boy. He was a young lad. He was able to bring that other boy in. And so too, you have access to the Father. Right? Back in the Old Testament time, if you were a Gentile, you couldn't even, there was a barrier around the temple area. If you went past that temple, they'd kill you. Because God was so holy. You couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies. Right? But only one time a year. And they would tie a little bell on because it was just so holy. In case God just killed, you know, just whatever. You know, you're dead. They could just drag you out. You know, they wouldn't have to go in there themselves. God was so holy. Right? Now you have that access. It's almost like Jesus Christ is taking your hand and say, "Hey, give me your hand. You don't have to worry about it. You can come right in and talk to your Abba Daddy." And not only that, he wants to talk to you. You know why he wants to listen to you? Because he loves you. And listen, you don't have to spend 2 seconds and go. You know how sometimes when you talk with people, like you feel... you know, this guy's an important guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, "Oh, I better make it quick," right? God's like, "I want you to stay for a while. I want you to talk with me." There's a verse in Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 2, that says, "Don't be hasty to leave the king's presence. Because you've been justified by faith through Jesus Christ, you have complete access to him. He wants you to come. He wants you to sit with them." You guys all remember the story of Mary and Martha, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Jesus came into the house of Lazarus, right? You know, Mary and Martha. And, Martha was about doing a lot of things. Nothing wrong with that, right? Getting stuff ready. And Jesus was teaching and sharing. And finally, she got so mad. And she said, "Lord, will you tell my sister to..." This is the Darren paraphrase version. "Get off her butt and help me. I'm here getting all this stuff ready, and she's just listening, sitting at your feet." And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. But Mary's doing the better thing.
Yep.
And it won't be taken from her." God wants you to just sit at his feet. Listen, if you came over to my house, most of you guys, to be honest with you, you'd have to knock to get in. Some of you, you might have to ring the doorbell a few times. But I'm kidding, it's a joke. But you couldn't just walk into my house, right? However, Elijah, he's outside and he just decides to come in, come on in. He has free access. You are the same way. Does that make sense? There's a scripture verse coming to mind, not in my notes.
Going off the reservation.
Go to Ephesians with me. And let's hope that you're going to ask me what chapter, and I'm going to say yes. Go to Ephesians with me.
Chapter yes.
Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Let's see, huh? Give me just a second here. Oh, Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. Lord, please help me find it. Okay. Let's start in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2. verse 14, I think it's down to, well, let's just read, and I'll figure it out as we go. Does somebody mind reading? Josh, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, if you just mind reading Ephesians chapter 2, 14.
For he himself is our peace.
And who's that he? Josh, no pressure?
Jesus.
That's right. You get an A for today.
Yes. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
That's right. You can stop there. Isn't that amazing? You now have that access. You can come free and go into his house. You don't have to feel ashamed. For those of you who have children, and when you know your kid does something dumb, you know, and did something wrong, when they come in and they feel bad, are you like, oh, you dumb kid! I knew you'd be a failure. No. You're like, man, you know, they've got a humble heart. Man, you're like, son, come on in. What's going on? I messed up here. Oh, come in. Let's talk about it. You know what I mean? Let's go through it. That's your Father. That's your Heavenly Father. And if you haven't experienced that, that's who he is. He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You have free access. In fact, it even says one more, and I think I got this one in here. Hebrews 4:16 says this. Listen to this. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Some of your translations say boldness. Just walk in the door. He wants to sit with you. You've got free access so that you can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Isn't that amazing? Anytime, anywhere, your Father has an open door waiting to sit and chat and be with you. That's your God. How cool is that? Some of us don't even have parents that would do that. Just being honest. Yes.
Just a clarification, because I think a lot of people take that verse and they think that it means that that's when you can stand before the Lord and remind him of all the promises in his word about financial prosperity.
Yes.
And I think people take that verse and they go confidently demanding.
Yes.
So there's a difference. That needs to be understood, that we're not supposed to go before him demanding what we think he's supposed to do for us.
Absolutely. You know, there is a lot of teaching that says that. But that's not right. Let me tell you what would happen. My son came in and said, Dad, I'm so sorry. You know, I did this thing. I wasn't checking my work. I know I should have. And, you know, hey, do you mind, will you forgive me? I'll correct it. You know, do you mind if I can ride my bike to McDonald's later if I get it done? You know what I would say? I would say, absolutely, son. Go with Joe, go to McDonald's, get a burger and fries. I forgive you. So, now, if my son came in to me and said, as his dad says, Dad, you said I could come in all the time. So I demand, I messed up, but I claim it. You need to give me money right now so I can go to McDonald's with my friend and give myself a soda. And I'm leaving now because I have a promise and access and I'm the king's kid. So you need to let me go now. I claim it.
Oh, no.
I would gently, lovingly say, I don't know if I would gently, lovingly say, but that's me. Yeah. But the bottom line would be like, no. That wouldn't happen. In fact, just the opposite would happen. How we approach God is in humility, right? He's not our big cosmic cash cow where we demand of God. He's our Father. We have a reverence, a reverential respect and awe of our dad. You know, just like some teenagers get all prideful. No, I'm not saying these teenagers, you know. Some teenagers get all prideful and they're talking to their mom and dad like this, like they own the place. Uh-huh. Man, how dumb and disrespectful. Who do you think you are? Who do you think pays the bills in your home? Who pays the electric in your home? Not you. Who do you think pays for the food? Not you. Water? Not you. Keeps up the air conditioner? Not you. Pays the taxes, the rent, the mortgage? Not you. Not you. Not you. Who gives you the clothes? Not you. You get the idea?
We need to come and be respectful of our Heavenly Father. That's a really good word.
And earthly.
Yeah, go ahead.
And earthly. And earthly. Oh, absolutely. You know what? It says, children, obey your parents, because it's right in the Lord. It's pleasing to God. But that's just God's word, Natalie. We don't need to listen to that, do we? How old-fashioned. Of course we do. Okay. Actually, and you know what? Let's move on. I'm spending too much time. I think we're in verse 1.
Actually, you swerved all the way through verse 2.
All the way to verse 2, did I? Fantastic. We're moving right along here. There's just so much good stuff in here. And you know what I've noticed, too? My poor eyes are going not as... Linda, I think I'm going to need new glasses again. I know I'm having to take them off just to see. Not that I'm old, you understand. I'm just saying. Okay, so let me... All right, here we go for a second. It says, we have gained access by faith into this grace. This grace is just God's unmerited, undeserved favor in which we now stand. And that word stand in Greek implies a permanence. All right? It's like you can stand there. You can hang out. It's permanent. And then it goes, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, that hope, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, that's not like a wishful thinking. Like my son's hoping, one of my sons is hoping against all hope. He gets the new Risk game. I forget what it's called. What's it called, as a guy? Risk Legacy, okay? My little strategizer, my battlefield strategizer. It's not wishful thinking. When we talk about biblical hope, the Greek word is ellipsis, and it means an assurity, a certainty. And so when God talks about hope of the glory of God, he's talking about the assurity. And in fact, just for the fun of it, go to Colossians 3:4. Somebody do that for me, if you don't mind. I don't know that I've... Maybe I have a slide, but I don't think so. Colossians 3:4. Yeah, I know. Colossians 3:4. When you get there, and if you want to read God's Word, just raise your hand. It's in the New Testament. I'm going to call on you next, Action Jackson. So here's the big ruffle. Okay, so who has it? Ash, okay, hand raised. Ashley, okay, what does Colossians 3:4 say? Hopefully I'm right there. What does it say?
When Christ is our life of fear.
Wait. I'm sorry, you can't be... This is your newly saved, few weeks... Go ahead.
When Christ is our life of fear, then you also will appear with him in glory.
That's right. When Christ appears, you will also appear with him in glory. You have that confidence. You have that assurity. And that's a cool thing. You have that hope at the glory of God. I just love that. Not only that, but listen to this. It says, not only so, but we also... This is not a fun topic to teach on. Somebody told me last night, nobody teaches on suffering. No churches teaches on suffering anymore. It says this about suffering. It says that about suffering. He was at my table at my office in Panera. And he's like, no churches. I said, our church does. Really? I said, absolutely. We teach the Bible. The pastor's amazing. It's my opinion. She's saying no. I didn't say that part. He's an ugly, but by the grace of God. Okay, but it says this. He goes, not only so, but listen to this. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us. What in the world? What? How do we rejoice in our suffering? Some of your translations say something other than rejoice? Mm-hmm. Was it verse 3, I think? I can't read because I have so many scribbles in my Bible.
Mine says exalt.
We exalt.
Glory.
Doxa. We exalt. We rejoice. We're going to have joy in our sufferings. Does that mean, let me ask you, as a Christian, does that mean, okay, I break a leg and I go, woohoo! I'm going to be holding up for months walking on this crutch. Should I be really, I mean, what does that mean, we rejoice in our sufferings? What does that mean? What do you think that means? What would you tell somebody in here? Does that mean we're like, you know, sadistic? We bring it on, you know, like hit myself in the face? What does that mean?
We look at it in a different perspective.
Okay.
I don't know. Some of them, not always. I mean, certainly we're upset. But then when we get past that, then we realize that God's doing the work and we seek Him. And I mean, I ask, well, what are you trying to show me in this?
Yes.
You know, and sometimes when we're down, that's time that we need to spend with God because we're so busy and we're so crazy and we don't spend time with Him. Well, when now we're down, we can't do anything. That's our opportunity to spend with Him.
Good. Excellent. Top.
Yeah, second.
And or
ladies first.
Okay.
Well, the thing is that I see that when you come through it, because a lot of times while you're going through a suffering, depending on what it is, it can be real painful at the time.
Absolutely.
Okay. But we come through it. And when we come through it, we look back and we realize that, number one, God had somebody praying for us, that the Lord was with us. He comforted us. He brought me through, and He heard our prayers. And so you rejoice in that fact that God actually was with me. He was providing for me. He was preparing me for that. Lots of times I look back at some of the things that Tom and I have been through, and I realize how God had prepared us beforehand, before we even went into that. He prepared us for it. And then He brought us through it. Yes. And then after we came through it, we're able to look back and rejoice that God was with us all the time. And we rejoice in that.
Good. Tom? Yeah, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we receive from God."
What does that say to you?
That means that God has ordained that whatever I go through, He will deliver me through to help other people through their troubles.
So God's not just this mad, bad guy cop in the sky who just wants to beat the snot out of me when I'm bad. Oh, He's going to use these things, right?
To me, it seems like things that this world kind of throws at you fails compared to what Christ did on the cross.
Yes, that is true. Good, sure.
I'd agree with what Gloria said, but maybe even like a challenge to take it a step further when we can look back and see that, but really the challenge is that we should glory, and even as James says, count it all joy as we're going through it.
Yes.
And then, like Roy said, when we come through it, we can look back, and that gives us the strength to stand in it as we're going through it.
Yes.
Like, to really, that's like the overcoming and the victory, is to be able to, in spite of all of it, as you're going through it, to have joy and to glory in it.
Yes.
Go ahead. I think, too, that kind of joy is, you're not going through this for nothing. This isn't something. It's going to produce something. You know, I think, I don't know if it's a guest speaker or what, but they were talking about that joy.
It was me.
Is to complete, to perfect. You know, so I like it in that, when you're saying with James, it says, "For you know that the testing," it's like, sometimes I forget that knowing part of why I'm going through the trial, but it's not for nothing. It's for something. It's to produce steadfastness. It's to produce that empathy and compassion.
Yes.
So when I go through, I'm more like, now I try to at least, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me here? Teach me to just help me get through this, but I know you're producing something.
Yes, that's exactly right. Oh my goodness, let me hit. All right, Jack, you still have? Jack, did you want to say that?
Well, actually, suffering should bring you closer to God.
Yes,
but how about when we're not suffering? Do we still... Does that bring you closer to God?
I think suffering just is... Is there anybody here like suffering? Raise your hand. No one, not one of us. But God is promising that all these things that you're suffering, or these things that you're going through, are going to be worked for your good. That's His promise. That's why you can have peace in that. There is a purpose for it. Christine, do you want to say something?
Yeah, when I read that, I'm reminded that even in the midst of what you're going through, not afterwards, but when you're walking in the suffering, is to remember, put God first.
Yes.
Think of Him first. Still praise Him. Still thank Him. Still,
yes.
Find that joy, every day to say, this is the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it, even when you're in pain.
Yeah.
Even when you don't know what the next hour is going to bring, it's to still make Him your focus.
Now make that the reality in your life. Now here's why I say that. That word rejoice in our suffering, some of your Bibles might say tribulations or trials, right? That suffering, trials, tribulation, rejoice in them. And this is something I wrote down because I thought it was so cool. In Latin, that word is tribulum. And that's basically a heavy piece of wood, timber with spikes in it. And it was used to use the grain, to work in the grain fields, to separate the wheat from the chaff. Those trials, those tribulations, the sufferings, is almost like, I hate to say it, it's easy, it's like a weeder. Okay? And it's getting out the wheat from the chaff. Because there's going to come a harvest time, God says. There's going to come a harvest time. In Luke, 3:17, he says there's a harvest time. And he's going to gather all the harvest to his barn, all the grain, all the wheat to his barns, and the chaff's going to be burned up in the fire. So it's kind of like a weeder. I don't know how else to say it. And not only that, the Greek word for this is phlipsis, and it means like a pressing, or it means like a pressure. Like the olive press, when the olive press, when it pressed like in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's what it means, an olive press, like when Jesus was pressed by the weight of the sin of the world, and that the oil came out, that oil came out, the goodness of, and when we're pressed and that oil comes out, that richness comes out, that purity comes out, it produces something valuable in us. If we keep our mind on the Lord. Folks don't like the things with trials, but that's what this Christian life is all about. It is not all health, wealth, prosperity, and prancing like through like ponies. That's not what it's about. God's using all these things for us, these trials, these tribulations, oppressing. It's almost like there was a... Which one word first? Okay. So I saw Billy Joel in concert. Don't scum me. It was a long time ago. I saw Billy Joel in concert a long time ago. And we were third row center, right? I won't tell you the other story. But it's pretty funny. But anyway, and one of the songs he sings is a song. I don't know if you remember it. Pressure. Da, 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 da. Anyway, you even sing the song if you like tense. Anyway, he's like, you cannot handle pressure. There's one verse. You have your... It's a little derogatory towards Christians, I thought. But I didn't realize it at the time. He says, you have your faith and your Peter Pan advice, but you have no scars on your face because you cannot handle pressure. Okay. That's just what's in my head. But as a Christian, God is promising you this pressure is going to bring forth beautiful stuff in your life if you'll just give it over to Him. When we're under pressure, what's the first thing we want to do?
Run.
Yes.
Get out of it.
Get out from under it. Right? Isn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah. That's what you want to do. When you're under pressure, you want to run. I'm just so pressured, I just can't go to the Bible study. I just can't. I'm too pressured. I can't go to church. Oh, I can't read my Bible. I'm so pressured. I just can't even think. I can't read the Word right now. I can't pray. I can't. We run away from God. And God sometimes is saying, why don't you let that pressure thing
say? Why don't you ask God, maybe it was Shirley, I can't remember now, but God, what are you trying to teach me in this? You're allowing me to go through this for a purpose. Will you teach me through this? You help me to have the right attitude. You see, when Billy Joel is mocking the Christian, you have your faith and your Peter Pan advice, but you have no scars on your face because you can't handle pressure. Listen, sometimes those pressure things create scars where you can say you've been through it. And I see how you handled it in this situation. I want what you have. I don't know what it is about you. And so many times we are freaking out instead of thinking, God, how can we glorify you in this situation? One of the reasons why I respect Josh, and I think he respects me, is because he knows, I know that he's gone through some terrible times. But I also know and respect him because even under that pressure, even though he was crushed by it, and I was crushed by it, yet he came out still for the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? And I know he's been through the fire, so to speak, the refiner's fire. You know what I'm saying? He's got some scars on his face. Don't trust any. I don't trust. Listen, I want to know. If you're a believer, I want to see some scars. Then I know, okay, well, you're not just talky-talky. You're a walkie-walkie. Or maybe you're a walkie-talkie. You know what I'm saying? I want to know you've been through it. That makes me listen more to you. Because I know you've been there. It's not just something on your lips. It's something in your heart. It's engraved there. Maybe because it hurt. C.S. Lewis said this, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. Think about people like Joseph. Think about people like, look back to the history. That's what God does, isn't it? We need to choose joy. If you look in the book of Acts, we don't have time to go through this, but they were persecuted, they were beat, they were flogged. Even in this Acts verse, right, 5:40-42, they were beaten and flogged. And they went away praising God that they had suffered for the gospel. Now he'd probably be rebuked by a lot of churches. Oh, he hasn't seen any suffering for us. I reject that. Listen, here's what Scripture says. Hit that light, JoJo. Christians are so surprised, especially if you've been taught badly, that when they're suffering and their like whole world falls apart because that wasn't fit in their theology. But they don't know the Word of God, and that's what I want to tell you guys. Listen, this is 1 Peter 4:12-13 or something like that. Oh, it says right there. Okay. It says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. It says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners in Christ and his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all." Two of you, I still remember. This word for suffering, philipsis, when I told you it was a leader, it's the exact same word in Matthew chapter 5, verses roughly 13-14. In fact, can we turn there really quickly? And hopefully that's the right verse. As you're turning there, it's the parable of the seeds. You know how the farmer's sowing a seed, which is the Word of God, right? Some fall on the pavement and the birds in the air. Satan comes, picks it up, you know. But there's something that happens to the next batch of seeds. I think it's Matthew chapter 5.
Salt and
light. Now maybe it's 13. Hold on a second. Let me look it up. Give me just a second. Sorry. No, it's not Matthew 5. It's not. It is 13. Matthew chapter 13. Sorry, kids. Matthew. Give me a second. I'm going to get there myself. It's in Matthew. Yes, it's not. It's 21. Matthew 13:3. Parable of the sower. 3 through 9.
13:3?
I think it's around 13 or 12. Hold on just 1 second. I'm there.
13:3?
3 through 9.
Okay, hold on a second.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Just go down to verse 20 for me, okay? Go down to verse 20. Jesus is explaining the parable. And I'm just going to have you read a couple verses, 20 and 21, okay? Somebody read that for me. Okay, go ahead. Yes, Christine.
The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away.
Listen, that's that word we're talking about. When trouble, when philipsis, when suffering, when tribulation, they receive the word. That's why you see folks receiving the word with great joy. They're all excited about it. Woo-hoo, Jesus, yeah! And then all of a sudden, you see them kind of falling away, and they could care less. They're going to church, they're going to youth group, and you know they're talking about, I don't want to follow God's will. They receive the word with great joy, but it says when trouble, philipsis, suffering comes, or persecution, well, I don't want any part of that. I didn't count on that. I just wanted to be healthy and wealthy all the time. I just wanted the blessing. There's this great girl I gave utmost for his highest to, and she read it. And she got it back by Oswald Chambers, a great little devotional. She brought it back to me. She said, oh, that was a really hard book, Pastor Darren. He's like, but, you know, that was some hard stuff. I was like, yeah, wasn't it good? And she's like, well, I didn't like it. I only want the blessings. Well, you've got to have both. And these folks, when the troubles, trials, it's a leader. You're going to see where you're at when you go through this. Now, I've been to the point where my faith has been crushed to the bottom. And actually, I thought it was crushed more than the bottom. He had to dig a hole for me. And yet, the Lord rescues me out, and I'm stronger. Now, I may have more scars. I may feel broken in some areas. But when I'm weak, I am made strong. And so are you. So if you're broken, if you've been damaged, let me tell you, and you're still drawn near the Lord, praise God for you. He's going to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask for or imagine. That's our God. And you have this guarantee that philipsis, that suffering, is going to produce perseverance, and that perseverance is going to produce character, and that character is going to produce hope, and that hope will never disappoint me because that hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Pat, you want to say something? Glory, you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, you know,
it's too late.
A lot of times we get focused on the result, right? When we're feeling stress, and we're feeling like we want to just be delivered from that. And I know the Lord does that. He can do that.
Sometimes He does.
And He does. Many times. What I'm thinking is kind of to go along with what Natalie was saying earlier. Is, you know, the process of it is that we're close to Him. And we're close to Him now. And everybody else made good points about what we have in the future, the concept of the plan that will make you stronger, you know, like God was saying, you know, definitely it does that, for sure. But, you know, Jesus said to know God is eternal life and we have it now, like you showed earlier in the slide. That's true. And I think that's what can be lost when we're in this, in the pressure cooker.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's easy just to say, well, yeah, sometime in the future I'll have it. But when you get to recognize that you're not so tied to the result,
yes,
and that, Lord, I need you. It's like, I have to have you just make it by.
Yes.
Now our relationship with Him is growing today.
Yes.
Not, it's not a future, but not saying again, but yes, you are going to grow in the future as well because of it. But you also have that growth now, and you also have eternal life now, and you also have hope.
Yes,
in the midst of the fire.
That's
in the midst of the storm.
Some people,
it's hard to do that, but I think that when you're broken and you're down to nothing but the only thing that can help you,
yes,
there's some peace in that.
Amen.
There's great peace.
Well, some people say God will only give you as much as you can handle. Well, that's not true.
No.
Hello. If He'll only give you what you can handle, you don't even need God.
Right.
That's why He puts the pressure on us.
Yeah.
So that He can give us more grace, can abound to us.
that God can do a greater work in us. Gloria, you said something.
I just want to say, you know, all of what we're talking about, and especially that verse reminds me of the book I just got done reading called, and this is a great title for a book, Dancing with the Scars. And it's a great little book by a very favorite, one of my favorite authors, Barry Stagner. And it's about people who have scars in their life from their past, whatever's happened to you, how you can go on with Christ. Right there, it says here, instead be very glad that these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world. And that's the thing, our scars in our life that we have had inflicted on us or we inflicted on ourselves can actually produce a great harvest of blessings in our life and through ministry as we give it to the Lord, as we experience his healing, and go on to learn and to grow in the Lord and then really be used of the Lord. We can actually dance, okay, with those scars. And actually, Conrad, that's when you look back, you can actually be glad for those scars.
Yes. Amen. Joe, hit those lanes. 1 Peter 1, 6-7 says, for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's a refining fire. It's taking all the dross out. Have you ever seen anybody refine gold and burn it at high heats, right? Those fiery trials at a high heat, and then they scoop off all the impurities, come to the top, and they remove it. And what you have left is purity. It's the pure gold. And you ask those guys, how can you tell if it's done? How do you know if all the impurities are out? And he says, I can see my reflection in it. And as people look at you, and they see the reflection of Jesus Christ in you, they know that God has been at work. And that refining fire is going to do just that. Ah, come on.
Cool.
It is cool. Okay, I really wanted to get something else, which is really cool! Which is why I wanted to go to verse 8, but I don't think I'm going to make it.
You can do it.
I can do it, but I think the Lord doesn't want me to do it.
You just ended on a really good one.
I did, but okay, no problem. All right, let's take a minute. Is there any comments? Is there anything that anybody wants to say before we close out? And you guys, as we continue on next Sunday, don't miss out, because you're going to see that this Philippians is suffering these trials. It's going to produce in us a perseverance. That perseverance, that word for perseverance is hupomone, and that is going to produce in us a godly character and that assurity. And so don't miss out on next week. I really want to share something, but I'm not going to. Okay, is there anything else anybody wants to share before we get out of here and I pray? Okay, go ahead.
You know, the scars that we're talking about, these are scars that we can't
see. Sorry, I can't hear you, Mark, because I'm like me.
The scars that we're talking about, we can't see with our eyes. These are scars that are on our souls. And the only way we can see these scars is with our hearts. So that's why we need to have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, so that we can see the scars in other people and ask them about them, so that they can know that they are loved.
And glorify God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good word, Adam. Yeah.
When I see a scar, I got a bunch of scars. Not only does it remind me, it makes me stronger, and it reminds me not to do that again. And I like what he just said. That was pretty awesome. The fact that we can't see the suffering of scars every year going through crisis, you know, letting us go through. Before anybody said the word scar, I'm sitting there pointing, look, and then it just started spreading. It was pretty cool. Anyway, make it stronger.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, yes, Deputy.
We have to remember, too, that the spiritual warfare with Satan, kind of was in the heavenly realm, say he will attack you because of your past scars. And we have to be careful not to let that happen and continue to go forward.
Yes.
You know, in our relationship with God.
He is Jehovah Rapha.
And it's really hard, but we can do it.
Yes, amen.
It can be done.
We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Another aspect, I have been ripped from here all the way to the back with scars. And it's been healed over for many years. But when I still touch it, there is pain. But the pain is not controls me, but it makes me think of the pain that someone's still going through and how sensitive they are. And so when I feel that myself, I remember something, you're still suffering. There's no scar. The wound is still open. And to be sensitive to the touch. And make sure the words don't kill everything.
Amen.
That's a good one.
That's a good word. Yeah.
These storms, they're praiseworthy because of what God does through them. But storms always do end, and then we go through periods of peace, as someone mentioned earlier. And those times, just like King David said in Psalm 23, you know, our shepherd leads us to green pastures and still waters, and he restores our souls. So that's what these times of peace are, for us to enjoy those green pastures and feed and drink from his word, and allow him to restore our soul, because soon he's going to have us get up and go through the valley of shadow of death again. And also that time is important to not get too comfortable and take off our armor, because we're always at war, and that should be on us permanently.
Yes.
Bless you. And also bless you. We can look around to see if anyone else is going through that valley, and then whatever we learned so far, we can be a blessing to them, to help them and encourage them while they're walking through it with the Lord.
Amen. Well, guys, let's do that. Let's remember that suffering produces, and we can have great confidence, and the Lord's going to use this for good. So next time you're under the pressure, Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that you help each one of us to just, Lord, if we can't get out and just remain under it, help us to say, what are you wanting to do in me through this situation, Lord? How are you wanting me to glorify you in this trial, in this tribulation, in this suffering, Lord? How can I glorify you in this situation? How can I magnify and glorify your name in this situation, Lord? How can you do this work in me so that I can be a better representative of who you are, Lord? Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name for everyone here, Lord, that they would have peace with God and peace from God, Lord. Through your blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, who cleanses us from all our sins, Lord. We pray for all those who are still fighting against you, Lord, who are considered enemies with God, that you would restore them, Lord, to you, Lord. You would just reconcile. You would do whatever it takes to bring them to you, Lord. For those who are struggling and working their way to your approval, erase that from their mind. They don't need to do that anymore, Lord God. For those who are struggling, Lord God, right now, Lord, just remember that we have, help us to remember we have full access to you anytime we want. We can come boldly and humbly before the throne of grace and stay there and sit with you and learn from you, Lord God. Thank you for that. You've done that for us, Lord God. Lord, I just thank you even that for our sufferings, for those trials, Lord God, because we know they're going to produce something in us. Help us to have a heart of Jesus, and remember that other people may be hurt in ways we don't even know, to extend your heart and your words to heal and to love and to build up and not to tear down, Lord God. And also to trust you in these situations, Lord. When we're afraid, when we're anxious, to trust in you, just choose to trust in you, knowing that you're going to develop perseverance and godly character and that non-disappointing hope, Lord God. We love you and we trust you, and we ask that you would help us to use all these situations for your glory and help us to realize it when we're in the middle of it. We love you and we pray for your blessing on this congregation this week and all the Bible studies. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have an awesome week.